Here's two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Xavier Will. Scott Goble. RX Muscle Australia proudly presents Aussie Muscle Radio. Yeah!
Welcome to another episode of Aussie Muscle Radio. It's the 26th of November 2013, and I'm joined as always by my co-host and patron crime, Scott Goble. And before we get into it, Scott, I just want to mention this episode of Aussie Muscle Radio is brought to you by Muscle Nutrition. Scoop, shake, and get shredded. Now, Scotty, what have you been up to this week, my friend?
Mate, I've just been my usual busy self. I'm not sure if I'm recording. Sounds like I'm recording in a public toilet or something right now. I've had to go into a quiet little assessment room at Spartans Gym because where I'm normally hanging out is a makeshift female change room, and they didn't like it when I tried to sit in there and set up my laptop. So, so I've been real busy with online diets and programs, which is fantastic, and just carrying out my prep as usual.
Good. How's that all going, the prep?
Yeah, it's going really well. I'm training hard around all my injuries. I haven't done any cardio yet. The weight's dropping comfortably still at 4,000 calories a day, so I haven't felt the need to change anything. So, yeah, I'm just cruising. I'm at that point where I sort of think, am I doing it too easy? But then I keep seeing results week by week, so I think, oh, well, may as well just keep on cruising.
It's funny. As bodybuilders as well, we kind of tend to panic almost and think, okay, this isn't hard enough. And you almost try to make it harder for yourself sometimes, which is sometimes obviously a downfall, which some people do, which what I did in my last prep. So obviously if it's to get my results, then keep doing what you're doing, Scotty.
Well, that's the plan at the moment. I have been playing around with the ATP pump cream a little bit, and I saw you put a post up recently about that, and I wanted to ask you how that went for you.
That was very good. I was going to mention it later on in the show, but it's firstly, I used it on my legs. So this is before I talked to Matt a real lot about how to use it and stuff like that. So I just chucked it on my legs just a tiny bit because I was worried about it because people said, oh, on your legs it's not always that much fun because you get too much of a pump. So I just put a little bit, tiny bit on my outer quad, a little bit on my medialis, a little bit on my hamstring, a little bit, and a bit more on my glutes as well because I'm trying to focus on that. And I started with a glute exercise and I got quite a pump in my glutes straight away. So I was like, oh, shit. When I moved on to squats, after one set of squats, my legs were fully pumped, like I had done five sets or something. And then as the workout actually went on, the pump got, as I almost couldn't keep the pump at the level it was at, because apparently I spoke to Matt after and he said you have to apply it every 30 minutes or so. And I didn't put it on my hamstrings. I put it on my hamstrings at the very start and not before I actually trained them. So that was awesome. Then I did it for delts. I just put a little bit on my delts, not on my traps. And literally, like, I'll do seated dumbbell shoulder presses and by the time I've done three sets, I'll be starting to get a pump. Like, I don't get that much of a pump on that exercise because I normally like to lift heavier on it. I got a pump after warming up, I had a pump, and then after the first set, I was like, I'd done five or six sets of it. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing stuff. The first time I used it, I actually messaged Matt and I said, I don't know if it's good or not because I used it on biceps, and I honestly, after the first exercise, I was so pumped that I went to go and do some heavy sort of alternate dumbbell curls. I really couldn't even feel it. Like, I was overpumped and I felt like I couldn't close my arm properly. And I actually messaged him and I said, I think it's almost inhibiting my performance. There's so much blood in the muscle. And he was like, yeah, no, that can happen. You know, play around with it, see what you think. And now when I use it, I use it at the end of my workouts. So I'll do two or three heavy exercises and then I'll apply it, and then I'll just do some real high rep stuff or a couple of supersets or something like that and just finish the workout with a shitload of blood in there, and I absolutely love it. I find it, I only use it on small body parts. I only use it on arms, really, and have used it on calves. Calves was pretty weird. They just ballooned
up. I did on calves, yeah.
Yeah, I found they ballooned up to the point where I couldn't even really get a great contraction. Again, I thought it was almost too pumped, but it was a great problem to have and a ridiculous sensation. It's amazing how well it works.
Yeah, I mean, I said this to Matt as well. I don't know if I said it on Facebook publicly or privately, but I said this is going to be one of those products because they want to go international with it that can really surprise, like, I mean, it will surprise the market, I think, because they're, you know, putting a patent on it and they're going to launch it worldwide. And I think as soon as people start using this and start posting on some forums and the word starts to get around, then it's going to be one of those products that really, really takes off. So, I mean, I used it on arms the other day, and I put it on straight before biceps, and then when I finished training biceps, I put it on my triceps. And it's something where, like, you don't want to put it on and wait 10 minutes. You want to put it on and literally start straight away, because I feel it within, I don't know how long it is, but maybe a minute or 2 minutes. You stand there and just, like, flex your tricep or your bicep, and you'll get a pump in it. So it's a pretty crazy product, Scotty.
It is, yeah. I've never used anything like it. I was pretty skeptical at first when I was told there was a pump crone, but I have no doubt that it has a profound, almost instantaneous effect.
Now, I remember talking to Matt about this, but does it actually get transdermally through your skin within that really short amount of time? Because it feels like it's almost instant. Like, you put it on and you can instantly get pumped.
I don't know how quickly it gets through the skin. Maybe that's just some sort of heat sensation. Due to the or whatever alcohol base or whatever the hell it's in. I don't really know enough about it. You'll have to, I guess, ask him in his segment. But it does work pretty quick. I agree.
Yeah. So I can't wait to I can't wait to talk to him more about it now that I've actually used it. And I got the sweats from it as well. Like, on my muscle group I was training. I don't know if you saw I put a picture up after I trained delts, or while I was training delts, and my delts were completely, I don't know if it's half cream and half sweat or what it was, but I was absolutely covered. And it's And the bit I like about it as well is, I mentioned this to a few people in the gym, that you almost don't have to do as much warming up, or you don't have to do as many sets to get the feel in the muscle. It's almost there straight away, especially with muscles like rear delts and things like that that people struggle with. It's really, really good to put on there. So, that product, I don't know how long until it's out, but I'll have to ask Matt, and I'll have him on later on the show as well. But Scotty, we've got a pretty big show. I think I'm going to have Campbell McCullum up later on in the show, and we're going to talk a bit about him being, he's a full-time lawyer, so he's obviously has to juggle that and bodybuilding, and he hasn't competed now in a few years, but I'm going to kind of see if he's going to be competing anytime soon and see, what he might do in the future. And basically, he obviously handling a lot of these bikey cases and stuff at the moment, I think, so it'd be interesting to hear about that, because obviously that's going on, especially up in Queensland, and I think it's pretty much all around Australia now, Scotty, isn't it?
Yeah, Queensland's got the strictest laws. They're the ones where they can just pull you over and search you and do all these sorts of things just because you look like a bikie.
Yeah, I heard they're actually getting people out of their cars. I don't know. I think it was Troy Bremner who put this up, because he's got a fair few tattoos. They can actually get people out of their cars and ask them to basically strip down and they take photos of their tattoos and stuff, which seems pretty much like a massive invasion of privacy, but...
Yeah, look, I don't really know what to think about it. It does seem to be, I agree, an invasion of privacy. So I don't know, but I mean, at the same time, I sort of think sometimes the police are a little bit restricted in the powers they have. If they know what half of these guys are up to, and if they can't do anything about it, it'd be pretty frustrating.
Yeah, I understand both sides on that situation. But Scotty, we've got a bit to get into. Now, the NPC Nationals were on over the weekend. And the story of it was pretty much Kevin Jordan coming out and winning that overall title. Now, there's been talk of people saying Kevin Jordan isn't that impressive for an overall winner. Some people are saying he is impressive. I mean, I had Dave Palumbo saying he was very impressed by how he looked and he was an impressive national winner. Chris Aceto begged to differ in that wrap-up video and said no, he wasn't impressed in terms of being a national winner. And he kind of threw out names like, Sean Ray and Lee Haney and stuff like that, but have won it before, which are obviously absolute superstars. But what did you think about Kevin Jordan, and do you think that he was kind of a deserving winner on the day?
I do think he was the deserving winner. I thought he was the deserving winner of his class, and I thought he pretty much dominated the overall. He did it with size and shape. He didn't do it with incredible conditioning, while he was obviously well-conditioned. I thought he was the worthy overall winner. I didn't think he was an amazing winner. I thought... the super heavyweight class was kind of weak, and the light heavyweight class was good. Chris Tuttle looked really good, but they're just, to me, I don't think it was a show with a future superstar. I don't know if there's anyone in that was going to be a top six Olympia guy.
One guy that I do see with a fair bit of potential, but he kind of haven't, I mean, he got his pro card, but he hasn't even realised it yet, I don't think, is Joel Thomas, who got second in the super heavies. What did you think about Joel Thomas? I mean, he's got those crazy, crazy arms. He's got a lot of muscle. What did you think about his overall physique?
I'm a massive Joel Thomas fan, I agree. If there's anyone with the potential to do damage at the next level, it's probably him. He's got an incredible shape. He's got a powerlifting background and slabs of muscle everywhere, big calves to work. So, yeah, I really like Joel Thomas. He's got a little ways to go. He hasn't nailed his condition yet. I thought he was going to win the super heavyweight class. I was surprised when he came in second, but I guess he was just out-conditioned. I would agree. Out of everyone, the most potential is with him.
Yeah, definitely. What did you think about the super heavyweight winner? It was Ryan. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. I'd butcher it.
Yeah. I thought he was very good. I mean, normally I thought it was a really weak super heavyweight lineup. Like normally when I look at it, and I work my way down, and I sort of think, man, I would have probably come about 12th in that class, or if I would have made top 10, I'm really happy. And man, I think with this class, I probably would have been like fourth, which is piss weak for an American Nationals, to be honest. Like, I'm not at that level. So I think that, the top three were really good. And after that, it just dropped way off. And, as far as super heavyweight winners go, I reckon he was one of the worst in years.
Yeah. Now, what did you think of Brad Rowe, who got second to Kevin Jordan? I thought Brad was, I thought he looked really good. He worked with Chris Aceto for this show. He had some, he has kind of a few little structural things, like his waist is a little bit wider from the front and things like that. But what did you think about him overall with his condition and the muscle he brought?
Oh, look, he's got some crazy legs. He had fantastic conditioning. He's pretty much thick all over. He lost it on genetic shape, and that's about it, because he carried as much muscle as anyone. He looked like a beast. I thought he was really, really impressive, but I thought Kevin Jordan's just put together a hell of a lot better, and I thought he deserved to win on the basis of that.
Yep. Now, Chris Tuttle, he won the light heavies. Is he a guy, what did the light heavies go up to, Scotty? Do you know in poundage?
198 pounds.
198. So this is a guy that's obviously he's probably going to target in on the 212, and he looks like he can still add more muscle to, grow into that class a little bit more. Do you think he's going to be a really good 212 competitor, or do you think he'll still be a bit off?
Look, he's not missing a whole lot. I think maybe his back could improve and he just needs a little bit of upper body thickness in general. But overall, he's pretty well put together. He's got a small waist. Legs are amazing. So, yeah, maybe. I mean, if he can put on 14 pounds and keep that sort of conditioning or improve it, then he's going to be very good.
Yeah, definitely. And they're basically, I think, the main names coming out of a men's lineup that will have potential and could do well as pro bodybuilders, because, sometimes we look at these photos and we're a little bit critical because we look at pro bodybuilders and then we look at, NPC Nationals. But some of these guys, if you saw them on a pro stage, they definitely wouldn't look out of place. And guys like Kevin Jordan, I'm excited to see what he does in the future and if he can, add that little bit more muscle to his legs and things like that, and to see if he can, possibly be, winning some of these small pro shows and stuff.
Yeah, I'm not sure how old he is, but the thing that worries me about Kevin is that I don't really see him improving a heap. Like, he hasn't improved a great deal in the last 2 or 3 years. His weaknesses have been his weaknesses, a bit of back depth and density and the quad size in general. His legs look good on the side, but he just doesn't have a great big quad. So if he can't have improved him at the amateur level in the last 2 or 3 years, I'm sort of wondering how much he's going to do as a pro. He really needs to add, 5 to 10 kilos of muscle to be a really competitive pro, I reckon.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think if he can bring his conditioning, if he can bring in, we've always seen, he's in good condition in this show without being absolutely peeled. So if he could bring that really peeled conditioning, being an NPC Nationals winner overall, and then bring a much better level of conditioning, I think he could do actually really well as a pro within the next couple of years. When I say really well, I don't mean getting up on the Olympia stage and placing top 8 or anything like that, but I mean, placing top 3 or top 4 in some of these smaller pro shows and stuff, because, I think he definitely has the potential for that. And obviously, a few years ago, that would have qualified him for the Olympia. So I think he can definitely get to that level where he's doing, top 3 and things like that. But, Scotty, let's move on. Jay Cutler, I believe this was at the NPC Nationals. He was there, and he got interviewed by Bob Ciccarello. And Dave Palumbo mentioned this, and a few other people mentioned it. But he said in his interview that he'll never be 300 pounds again. Now, we've talked about Jay and his injuries and his bicep tears and stuff like that. And a lot of signs kind of point to that, you know, he might retire or might not ever compete again. And I think from Jay, from a business standpoint, I don't think he'd ever really put out a retirement speech. He might say one day, you know, he won't compete again, but that might be 6 years away or something. Do you think this is kind of almost a way of Jay saying, I'm retiring?
Yeah, it's a very Jay comment because it sort of suggests something but leaves a little bit of room open for him to change his mind. I mean, he doesn't need to get to 300 pounds to be super competitive. He can hang around at 290 and die down to 265, you know. So it leaves the door open, but you'd have to think that the writing's on the wall for Jay. I mean, how hard is he going to be able to train? If his body is really breaking down the way it is, he's always going to have lopsided legs. He's torn both biceps now. His body's probably trying to tell him that, you know, his time is up. And he's had an amazing career. So, yeah, I do. I think he is suggesting that he's almost done.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, if you was in Jay's position, would you kind of keep it going on, like, you know, and not actually put out a retirement type thing? Because, I mean, for someone like Jay, if he has decided in his mind that, you know, this is it, I'm done, and you got all these people, you know, oh, what, is he done or whatever? I mean, for me, if I was Jay and I had, you know, the amount of money he has and all that kind of stuff, I might just say, like, stuff it, I'm retired. But obviously, if he holds out and doesn't say he's retired, then it gets more people talking about him. You know, will he compete next year's Olympia? Will he make a comeback ever and stuff like that? So what would you do in his situation?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think if my mind was 100% made up, I'd probably say it. But you raise a good point. I mean, Ronnie never said it, and there was a lot of talk about Ronnie for the next 2, 3, 4 years that he might compete again. And, you know, if you keep keeping your name out there, you're only helping your brand and you know, your potential earning or your income. So I think it could be a smart move for Jay to just keep hedging his bets and keep people guessing. But me personally, I reckon if I was done, I'd just say it.
Yeah, I agree. It'd be too annoying for me. I'd find it very irritating having all these people talk about it and probably have people coming up to you in the street every now and then and at expos and stuff asking if you're going to compete again, and you have to think of a different, or you'd have to think of some type of smart answer every time to not say that I am competing again, but not say that you're not. So it would just irritate me way too much. But obviously, I'm not in that situation to do that. But Scotty, we'll move on. Nathan Wallace. He's kind of conquered all this year as a natural bodybuilder from Australia. He actually won the WrestleMania overall this weekend, just gone. He's over there with his fiancée, Sophie Gwendolyn. I think I nailed it that time. Now, Scotty, I don't think many people know this, but she actually posted this up on her Facebook. He's won 5 out of 6 overalls this year in natural bodybuilding. One being, I mean, I can't name them all. I mean, you've got the Queensland IMBA, you've got the IMBA Nationals, you've got the Mr. Olympia, IMBA Mr. Olympia, you've got, what else is there?
Probably the A&B state title.
A&B state title. The one he lost was the A&B Nationals, which he lost to Michael Waddington in the overall. Yep. And yeah, the WrestleMania, so I think that's all of them. But, I mean, winning 5 out of 6 overalls is pretty amazing. I mean, he would have loved to go on 6 from 6, I reckon. But, I mean, has he established himself as Australia's best natural bodybuilder?
Where did Waddington place in the Pro Olympia, do you know? Did he beat Nathan?
I'm not sure, but, I mean, did Waddington do the... Is he a Pro NBA competitor?
Yeah, he is, yeah. And I know he did it, and I know he was lined up in the top 5 comparisons with Nathan, so I'm not sure. That's what it comes down to. If Waddington managed to beat him at that Pro Olympia as well as the A&B Nationals, then you got to give it to him. But Nathan's the most prolific winner, and in my eyes, the most impressive. So I'm happy to give him the crown.
Yeah, I mean, Nathan, he definitely got the most, I suppose you'd say, he got the most coverage, I guess, from winning all his shows, and he got obviously the most titles as well. So, I mean, you probably have to say Nathan is the standout natural bodybuilder of the year. And I feel bad saying that. If Michael Waddington did beat him at the Natural Olympia, and he obviously did beat him at the A&B, then, you know, I mean, he should be crowned the best natural bodybuilder in Australia. But we've also got Justin Vergara as well, who didn't, I believe, I don't think he competed this year.
No, he didn't get up this year. I'm not sure what Justin's up to. Actually, I haven't seen him for a little while, but might try and find out what his plans are, because he is a truly great natural bodybuilder.
Yeah, definitely. He's got those, like, really... He's got, like, shorter arms and slightly shorter legs, but they're just so thickly muscled that it just looks absolutely insane.
Yeah, he's very good. He's also... He's got second to Kiyoshi Moody a couple of times and actually pushed him. So, yeah, he's got all the credentials.
Yeah, definitely. Now, Amy Fox is over in New Zealand, who's... she's basically... I mean, I'd say she's Australia's number one amateur physique, women's physique competitor. She signed on with Fitness Management Australia, which is run by Tony Doherty and Amanda Doherty, obviously, which is signing up quite a few athletes at the moment. And yeah, she got a TV commercial over in New Zealand, and she let me in on a few of the details of it, which I actually found pretty funny. But she said it's going to be a massive campaign, like in terms of it's going to be, she's going to be on the side of buses, she's going to be, there's going to be, you know, obviously TV ads all in Australia, and it's actually for a beer company, which is I kind of found funny. But this is a message she sent me this morning. She said she's just in Auckland at the moment filming the TV commercial. She said it will go on air over Christmas. And it's for Tui's Five Seed Cider. So she said, yeah, keep an eye out for her on TV, internet, Facebook, etc. It'll be on before, like, you know, films in the cinemas. And, yeah, she said basically the idea of the commercial, she's playing a blonde Russian shot put champion called Svetlana, and she has facial hair and everything on it. So they're obviously playing up the muscular woman on steroids type deal in the ad. But knowing Amy, I'm sure she won't mind it, because she does like taking the piss, even if it's out of herself.
Yeah, and she's probably not going to mind the paycheck either, which from what I've heard is pretty decent. So... yeah, it's a real coup, I think, for Fitness Management Australia, and they've signed up some athletes, and, you know, a few days after, you know, really going public, Tony's fielding phone calls from casting agents looking for, you know, muscular females for ads and things like that. And that's the sort of thing that Tony gets all the time because of his name in the industry, and because of his contacts with the press through FitX and promotions like that, because he does deal with TV and radio and mainstream print media and things like that. That he's sort of the go-to guy in the industry when they need someone to fulfill these roles. He's put people on the Footy Show, and he's got me, I guess, posing in the past, and heaps of other things. So it's a pretty smart business he's got operating there, because and it's great for the bodybuilders as well, because it really, they have nothing to lose. Like, if you sign up, you're not paying an agent's fee. You're not doing anything like that. All it is he takes a small percentage of the earnings that he gets you, you know. So you're still free to earn all your other money, but if he gets you a well-paying gig, and he gets a very small percentage, and you get a whole lot of added exposure. So it's win-win for everyone.
Yeah, exactly. And I was thinking about it as well, because someone asked me about it. I said, you know, if you don't have to pay, then what's the deal? I said, well, they don't sign, obviously, everyone up, but that applies. Otherwise, they'd have hundreds and hundreds of athletes, which would just water down how much they could give to each athlete. And they said, well, what's the point? And I said, obviously, you know, Tony and Amanda would get a percentage, and obviously they set it all up for you, so they make it pretty easy. So if you're an athlete, you know, if you're with Fitness Management Australia, then you obviously got it pretty good. And it's good for everyone as well. Like, Tony's not just about, you know, he wouldn't be just saying, okay, I'm just going to make money from this, from getting a percentage. He's going to be say, okay, well, the deal is that, you know, I'm going to be promoting bodybuilding around Australia. You know, the athletes are going to get more popular. They're going to be very happy. They're going to, you know, like what I'm doing. They might compete in more IFBB shows and stuff like that. And it's smart. I mean, if he looks after the athletes and stuff like that and makes people happy, then people are going to pay him back. And I think that's why Tony's kind of built all his businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's already got a few sponsorships and things for people which aren't based on a monetary return, so he hasn't got anything out of it. He's just gone out of his way to, you know, pursue a few supplement companies and sign up some really good bodybuilders. I know Adam Kazunian, and I think he teamed something up for Rufus as well. So he didn't get anything in return for that, but he got those guys a good deal.
That's really cool. I think that's awesome. Now moving on, this was Scotty. I got tagged in this. I'm sure you did on my weekend. Oh, I think it was on my weekend. And it was a video that Mark Gretchy Gretch posted up. Now, this is our post of a week that we're doing, post of week, was last week, was your post about the 57-year-old AFL player. Now this week, it's kind of a bad post of the week because it was a video, but I encourage anyone out there that, I don't know if Gretchy has his Facebook on private or what, but if he doesn't, you can go on his Facebook wall and search down it just a little bit, and you'll see a video, and he's calling out Adam Browner, and he said something like, what was it, calling you out, Brown Nose, or something like that?
Yeah.
And, yeah, basically what he's doing is he gets people on the leg press, and there's two people on each side that are reading a newspaper, and then there's Smitty and someone else on the top with their ass cracks hanging out, and Gretchy goes and slaps them on the ass and does a few reps of these people sitting on the leg press, and it's quite amusing. So I suggest anyone out there go and check out that video because I found it quite funny. But he said he got in trouble for that, so I don't know who he got in trouble with, but apparently he got in trouble.
Really? How could he possibly get in trouble for that?
I have no idea. So like slapping people's asses in the gym with their pants pulled down and stuff, I don't know how that can happen.
Okay, yeah, well, I suppose maybe from the gym itself, they might not have approved of it, but no, it was pretty funny from my standpoint. It was because Adam Browner had recorded a video of him leg pressing and he tagged Gretchy in it. I think he might have tagged me in it as well, but I've got good privacy settings, so I don't know that I put it up on my wall because it was just him leg pressing 700 kilos or something, and you know, so I was just like, oh yeah, whoop-de-doo. So yeah, it was Gretchy's comeback to that, and I don't think I'd want to get in a war with Gretchy because he's just a little bit too funny and a little bit too creative.
Yep, I agree. Now, Scotty, do you have any developments on your 57-year-old man that wants to be in the AFL next year?
No, he's come back into the shop once when I wasn't there, so hopefully he does come back. I'll definitely be recording him if he does appear again, but at this stage, no, he hasn't been sighted. Maybe he's back on his meds or back in the home.
Very disappointing. I was hoping something to see a video during the week or something.
I'll do my best.
Thank you, Scotty. Now, just a quick note before we head to a break. Chris Jenkins, he signed up with Mass Nutrition Bondi. So he's a Mass Nutrition athlete now, which is, Mass Nutrition seem to have pretty much most of the good athletes around Australia these days.
Oh, sorry, mate, you were cutting out of me there. I think you said something about Mass Nutrition having all the best athletes, which is true.
Yeah, now on that note, Scotty, we're going to head to a break and we'll be back in a few minutes with our Ask Scotty segment and a bodybuilding yes or no.
Need that edge in your training to push past barriers, break PBs, and take the body you've been working so hard for to the next level? Well, look no further. Gripped Fitness, the brand that supports the industry and Australia's top athletes. Gripped has a complete range of lifting accessories and apparel designed to get you lifting more, while providing the needed support and aesthetics to take your body to the next level. Check them out at www.gripped.com.au. Get a grip.
My Muscle Chef is the perfect solution for anyone who doesn't want to spend hours cooking, cleaning, and doing groceries every week. You can now focus on your training knowing your diet is taken care of. All you need to do is microwave and eat. To order, simply jump online at MyMuscleChef.com or call 1-300-364-993.
Here's to the athlete, the bodybuilder, the figure competitor, those who are committed, those who sacrifice, those who want to be different, the ones that get up an hour before they have to, that put their body on the line for their goals and are never, ever satisfied with close enough. You can ridicule them, but you can never ignore them because they challenge the way people make them think about themselves. And while the masses try to confine them and dismiss them, at ATP we celebrate their achievements, their dedication, and why they improve the world. Visit us on Facebook or at www.atpscience.com.
Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shopfronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop. International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and three-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are five key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets or shop online at MassNutrition.com.au. Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
Thermal burn protein, the world's most potent fat-shredding thermogenic protein. It's clinically dosed with CLA, African mango, raspberry ketones, green coffee beans, and green tea extracts. A full-spectrum protein that assists with burning fat, natural water depletion, and it also increases focus and energy with added branched-chain amino acids for anti-catabolism and recovery. Available in 6 delicious flavors and in 2 convenient sizes. Demand it today from your local supplement store. Scoop, shake, and get shredded.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm joined once again by Scott Goble. We're here for his Bodybuilding Yes or No segment and his Ask Scotty segment. Scotty, are we ready?
Good to go.
Now, we've got a few this week. We'll start with Bodybuilding Yes or No. Now, will Kevin Jordan compete in a Mr. Olympia ever?
Ever, yes. I think he knows he has some work to do. I think it's just a case of slowly adding muscle and not ruining his lines, but maybe now that he's got to the next level and he's can get a few more sponsorships and funds behind him, he might be able to do that. So, yeah, I think he'll make it to the Olympia. I don't think he'll be a top six guy, but I think he'll, maybe be a top 10 guy, but definitely an Olympia competitor.
Yep. Second question. Will we ever see Aaron Pilates, or Pilates, as Mick has started making everyone call him, on a Pro 212 stage?
Oh, wow. Geez, it's early days. The kid's only been training for a couple of years, I think.
Yeah, he's 25 as well, so I think he's been training for about 2 or 3 years or something. 3 years, I think.
Yeah, look, I mean, at his rate of progression, it's hard to say no, but, you know, sometimes people are fast out of the gate. He's probably landed at an amazing gym where he's got some excellent guidance and he's fulfilling his potential fast because of that. So, that's a tough one. If Tony keeps his 212 qualifier going, I definitely see him as an elite competitor in the weight classes, in the open weight classes. He's destined to get a national title. So, it's a possibility. At his age, I'd probably say yes. If he continues to pursue it, yes.
Yep, no, I agree. And when I thought about this, last year when I saw him, I thought, you know, where does someone like Aaron Pilates go in Australia in terms of, you know, he's probably doesn't quite have the height to turn pro in a open pro qualifier, but something like the 212 pro qualifier is pretty much perfect for him.
Yeah, it's changed things up a lot for everyone. I think it's gotten all those, you know, under 80 competitors excited. even though they've still got to beat those under 90 guys and even a few of the under 100s. It's definitely opened up a lot of possibilities for the shorter guys, and I think that's great.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, now last question, bodybuilding yes or no. In the next 5 years, will we see an Australian male on an Olympia stage?
That's really hard. I would like to think so, but the qualifying standards are so tough now. You know, someone's going to have to bite the bullet and just do a string of shows. I don't know. I think Ivan's the only one that has the genetic potential to do it at the moment. I don't know that he's got the desire to just absolutely go on a tear and dedicate an entire year to, competitions. I know I've spoken to Abe. Look, Abe's a funny one. You know, Abe wants to be Mr. Olympia, and he makes no bones about it. He wants to be the best in the world. So he's definitely got the mindset. He's a very quiet yet convincing, positive guy. So he's back this year. I'm intrigued to see what he looks like because he was nowhere near his best last time he got on that pro stage.
Yeah. So he'll be in the 2014 Australian Pro, will he?
He will, yes. Yeah.
Excellent. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, and look, he'll probably be 120 on stage, whereas last time he was about 105 on stage.
Wow.
That's a big, big difference. So, yeah. You know, he's the sort of guy that, you know, he looks big standing next to Leonardo with. So, I don't know, Josh, I don't know if he's quite got the structure to be winning pro shows. He can certainly add the size. Man, look, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's depressing to think as well. It's depressing to think that you know, there might not be an Australian on the Olympia stage in the next 5 years. But we never know. Someone could come up in the next, you know, year or two and just blow everyone away and turn pro and then have, you know, another year or two to add more size and develop that. But we just don't know at the moment. So,
yeah, it's possible. You know, who knows? Maybe Browner gets on stage 103 kilos this year, blows everyone away, places top three. Like, you're right, you don't know. There's a lot of good guys out there. There's a lot of dudes that just lurk and just come out of nowhere, like Josh and Abe and things like that. So, you know, I really hope so, but at the moment I don't see it happening.
Yeah, I think our best chance is probably... I think we have a slightly better chance of a 212, maybe, just by, by the fact that this is a 212 pro qualifier, and I think we're going to have some good guys come out of that. But, Scotty, we'll move on to your Ask Scotty segment. Now, first question, how important is the eccentric portion of the movement on an exercise, and how much emphasis do you place on this as it can and does sometimes decrease strength?
Well, it's very important. Well, constant tension is very important. So if you're just dropping the weight, you're losing the tension and you're reducing the stress on the muscle. You're also risking injury and things like that, because at some point something has to stop that weight from dropping. So a controlled eccentric is very important. A controlled eccentric has also been shown to do more sort of damage to the muscle tissue. Whenever they want to do studies on delayed onset muscle soreness and stuff like that, they get people doing either negatives or downhill running, because downhill running is a purely eccentric exercise. So that's what induces muscle soreness. There's links with, you know, muscle damage and stress and things like that to muscle growth. So the eccentric phase is just as important as the concentric phase. Every single part of the rep is important. That's my answer. It's as important as any other facet of weight training.
Is there a point of, like, diminishing return in terms of how many seconds you use on the eccentric phase and things like that? Like, you know, would 6 seconds or 8 seconds or something like that be pointless on an eccentric phase because they've just diminished, you know, strength kind of that much through the set?
I don't think so, because I think it'd be just proportional. Like, I think if you could do, you know, 20 reps and they were 3 seconds each, so it was a 2-centric, eccentric, 1-second concentric movement. So 3 seconds for the rep and you get 20 of them, so 60 seconds time under tension. Or if you did one rep of a 40-second eccentric and a 20-second concentric, it's not like you've done one rep with the same weight that you've done 20 reps with, but the time under tension is exactly the same. So I think the fatigue is commensurate with the time under tension. So I think you could probably mix it up. Having said that, there's certainly some benefits to explosive style training and muscle fiber recruitment and all that as well. There's many, many variables. I'm certainly not recommending doing a 40-second eccentric rep, but just as an example, it's, I think, more a case of time under tension than anything else.
No, I definitely agree with that. Now, next question. Should you train different body parts with different rep ranges?
You should train every body part with different rep ranges because there's benefits in every rep range. And if you want to, you know, experience hypertrophy in every muscle fiber, you need to hit it with a variety of rep ranges. So the answer is yes, but I think the question was more specifically, should you train legs with high reps and not traps or something like that, you know? And I guess if you really figure out your body, if you're super analytical about it, you might find that certain body parts due to muscle fiber composition respond better to different rep ranges. A lot of people find that their legs do respond better to high reps. And if that's the case, then yes, you know, focus a little bit more on high reps for leg training than you do on your upper body. So you have to be a bit intuitive about it, but if you want complete development, every body part should be hit with a variety of rep ranges.
Very well, Scotty. Now, next question. Who is your biggest competition in the 2014 Pro Qualifier?
I only think about one man, and that's Lenardowicz.
Yeah, I thought you'd have that because you've been talking about him a bit. Do you think he's the favourite now?
Yeah, in the Open, I do. Yeah. I don't. That probably sounds very insulting to Adam and Chris Jenkins and. I'm not sure who else is going to be in it. They're really the only three guys that I 100%. Yeah, well, they're the only three that I 100% know will be in the overs. You know, Cutler could be there and everyone else. But I see Josh is the only guy that I would struggle to beat if he was absolutely 100%, and I was 100%. So he's sort of my focus. I want to, without doubt, outcondition him. I think that's... I'm not going to, without doubt, outsize him unless he does something drastically wrong. So... the other guys, I think I can just take. If we're both in 90% condition, I think I'd beat Jenkins or Adam or anyone else at this stage. Maybe not Cutler, but yeah, he's the only one that really concerns me. If you say it's concern.
Yeah, definitely. Now, next question. Do you ever think they'll create a classic bodybuilding division in the NPC in America or a pro division?
It's a good question. It's surprising that Australia has a division that America doesn't, because normally we follow their lead. I don't know if the IFBB Australia did it as a result of the WFF being so successful. It's a good division. Like, it's a really interesting division. I always watch it because there's always amazing conditioning in there. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty sure Tony has discussed it with you, Manny, but I think I don't know what came of it. They've got it at the world championship level. So, yeah, it's kind of surprising. Maybe. Look, if there's money to be made and registration fees to be sold and tickets to be sold to shows, then I don't see why the NPC America wouldn't do it. So I'll say yes to both, but with no time frame.
Yeah. I think it gives somewhere for some of the men's physique guys to go to too, because David Plumber was talking about it in the wrap-up video, and he was saying, you know, he wonders if it will become, you know, the men's classic will actually be a division in the NPC and possibly even a pro division, because they mentioned how many divisions there are for women now, and there's only really bodybuilding, there's obviously the 212, but bodybuilding and men's physique at the moment for men. I think they had about 250 odd competitors in the men's physique alone at the NPC Nationals, which is just absolutely insane. So they said they could obviously divvy it up a bit between bodybuilding and stuff, because it's obviously quite a few people were there to watch bodybuilding, so... That would be interesting if that did happen, Scotty. But anyway, that's it for us this week. We'll be back in a few minutes with our interview of the week, but that's it for you, Scotty, this week.
Thermobar and Protein, the world's most potent fat-shredding thermogenic protein. It's clinically dosed with CLA, African mango, raspberry ketones, green coffee beans, and green tea extracts. a full-spectrum protein that assists with burning fat, natural water depletion, and it also increases focus and energy with added branched-chain amino acids for anti-catabolism and recovery. Available in 6 delicious flavors and in 2 convenient sizes. Demand it today from your local supplement store. Scoop, shake, and get shredded.
International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and 3-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are 5 key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shopfronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop. Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets or shop online at MassNutrition.com.au.
Here's to the athlete, the bodybuilder, the figure competitor, those who are committed, those who sacrifice, those who want to be different, the ones that get up an hour before they have to, that put their body on the line for their goals and are never ever satisfied with close enough. You can ridicule them, but you can never ignore them, because they challenge the way people make you think about themselves. And while the masses try to confine them and dismiss them, at ATP, we celebrate their achievements, their dedication, and why they improve the world. Visit us on Facebook or at www.atpscience.com.
My Muscle Chef is the perfect solution for anyone who doesn't want to spend hours cooking, cleaning, and doing groceries every week. You can now focus on your training knowing your diet is taken care of. All you need to do is microwave and eat. To order, simply jump online at MyMuscleChef.com or call 1-300-364-993.
Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
Need that edge in your training to push past barriers, break PBs, and take the body you've been working so hard for to the next level? Well, look no further. Gripped Fitness, the brand that supports the industry and Australia's top athletes. Gripped has a complete range of lifting accessories and apparel designed to get you lifting more, while providing the needed support and aesthetics to take your body to the next level. Check them out at www.gripped.com.au. Get a grip.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm joined once again by Matt Legg for his 2 Minutes with a Scientist segment. You're ATP's Chief Scientist. Now, Matt, we're going to be talking about your new fat burner that's out on the market for ATP, which is an interesting one. I mean, people might go, oh, you know, it's a bit of advertising or whatever, but this is a very interesting product. And you were, I mean, you don't just talk this stuff up on the radio. You talk it up to me You know, when we're off air as well, and it's for good reason as well, because it's a product that works. So it's called T432, which is, you know, by the name of it, it does sound like, you know, a thyroid type fat burner. Talk about the product a bit.
Yeah, well, basically, when we make products for ATP, we don't just go out and try to look what other people are doing, or, you know, think what a bodybuilder's want. We get given a target. Well, I get given a brief basically saying make the best fat-burning thermogenic product I can make, and then I'm pretty much given free rein to do whatever the hell I like. When I was creating a fat burner, I didn't want to just do a fat-burning pre-workout, because typically what happens in that situation, you load them up with stimulants and you spend your whole workout being catabolic, and then you're not burning as much fat for the rest of the 24-hour period. So what we've done is to make the best thermogenic we can, as we understand what controls thermogenesis in the body is the thyroid gland. And a lot of people, when they talk about thyroid hormones, they understand T4 has to convert to T3, which is the active thyroid hormone. It's somewhere between 5 and 10 times stronger than T4 as a thermogenic. But there's also T2. T2 is an activated form of thyroid hormone that works within the mitochondria. And that is the one that's responsible for quick, fast thermogenesis. So what we need to do is make sure we're converting our thyroid hormones from T4 to T3 to T2, which is where we come up with the name. There's also another bad guy in regards to the thyroid hormone profile. It's a thing called reverse T3. Reverse T3 has 1% the active, the fat-burning ability as T4. But it actually blocks T3 receptors. So we can actually trick the brain into thinking the thyroid's fine. It can trick the body into thinking the thyroid's fine, but it can actually be blocking thyroid hormone in the process. And that never shows up. When the doctors and that sort of stuff are measuring thyroid hormone, TSH and T4, if they've got this reverse T3 problem, you'd never know. And then they diagnose things like euthyroid 6 syndrome, or basically saying you've got all the symptoms of a sluggish thyroid, but your tests are showing up fine. But the key point is whether your thyroid's good or bad, you can use this product to just enhance thermogenesis, and it'll do it on a mitochondrial level, which will increase your basal metabolic rate. So that way, all day while you're working, moving around, keeping busy, and all night while you're sleeping, you're actually capable of be burning fat. And then you can focus your training on building muscle instead of breaking down muscle by using a high catabolic stim. So use your pre-workouts, just focus on muscle building and focus on your ability on getting gains while you're at the gym and training, and then spend the rest of the time using this afterburn to just keeping that metabolic fire cranking along.
Yeah, and this is definitely something I said to you, I said this is something I want to use during my contest prep. And you said it doesn't actually, you know, like a lot of, you know, illegal thyroid hormones and stuff that you can buy, if it doesn't actually have, I mean, you know, once you use, you know, people who use T3 and whatever, and T4 and stuff, they'll get, you know, almost like a rebound effect. And you said that doesn't happen with your new fat burner.
Yeah. Yeah, well, basically, if you were to put in T3 from an external source, through negative feedback, it sends a message to the body saying, don't make any more. So you lower your thyroid, or it can put a bit of a handbrake on your thyroid gland. So when you come off it, it's really hard to start again. The other thing that happens is your body can compensate by converting or upregulating the enzymes that convert T4 through to that reverse T3, and that reverse T3 can actually block the T3 that you're putting in. So the body's got all these safety mechanisms to stop you from running too fast, basically. So with this formula that we're using, we can control those negative feedback mechanisms, so we can keep you at the higher end of the thyroid window. So that way, we're not pushing you past it. We're not pushing you into a really fast thyroid, but we're keeping you at the top end of the window. So you'll definitely feel that thermogenesis, and you'll feel the warmth, and you'll feel a lot more energy. And the other thing that people don't realize is the thyroid's a big one for governing insulin sensitivity and preventing insulin resistance and controlling appetite and cravings. So this one formula will basically, it forces that thermogenesis to be at the higher end. It definitely works on insulin sensitivity. It's really cool the way it controls appetite, because we used yerba mate, which contains glucagon-like peptides. And glucagon-like peptides will actually work within the gut to control cravings, And even in the brain, they've been shown to have an effect to reduce all sorts of addictions and everything, because they work on those reward centers of the brain, where a lot of other products out there that are trying to control appetite, they're actually doing it. They do it by making you feel full and bloated and having a filling effect. And that makes you feel, oh, geez, I can't eat anymore because I'm already feeling full and bloated.
Are those things actually unhealthy? Are they unhealthy? Yeah. They actually make you feel bloated?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they do, because what happens is a lot of them work by inhibiting the absorption of carbohydrates and holding those sort of carbs into your gut. And then what they do is they feed the bad bacteria and the organisms and the yeast and the fungi, and they can cause dysbiosis and leaky gut wall and that sort of stuff. Mm. Otherwise, what happens is they just bloat you up, and you're left with a bloated, distended gut that holds a heap of fluid.
Yeah, which is definitely not something you want. So So this product is out now?
Yep, it's out now. All good supplement stores will have it. And it is a capsule because, man, I tried to make it into a powder and it was just so damn horrible. So we got, I've managed to get it into a capsule. And the way we recommend people doing it is you take it about 15 minutes before meals. Around 15 minutes, half an hour before meals is the best way to do it. And when I say meals, I know most of your listeners out there are probably eating every couple of hours, but probably, you know, three times a day is adequate. So if you take one or two capsules, about 20 minutes before meals, three times a day, you're going to actually get a chance for those capsules to open up and release all the necessary ingredients for those glucagon-like peptides and the insulin resistance and everything like that. So it'll actually control, and really good for your digestion too.
Yeah.
So it's really good because it gets rid of that bloating. It takes away a lot of inflammation out of your gut, and all those things contribute to insulin resistance, which contributes to a big, massive handbrake on your fat.
Yeah.
The other thing that this formula does is it actually helps with your full hormonal profile for fat burning, because it can enhance androgen or testosterone and progesterone activity and reduce estrogen dominance. So when you have a look at the one formula, it's covering most of the – it's trying to create a hormonal profile that will allow your metabolic rate to be running at its absolute peak.
Wow. I mean, it sounds like an awesome product. And from what I've heard from Mick and yourself and stuff, it just sounds like a killer product. So I'm definitely going to be using it during my prep, and I absolutely can't wait to use this and probably some of your other products as well. So,
yeah,
Matt, I want to thank you once again for coming on Aussie Muscle Radio. Stay tuned, listeners. We've got the show wrap-up with me and Mick coming up in just 2 minutes.
International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and three-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are five key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shopfronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop. Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets or shop online at MassNutrition.com.au.
Need that edge in your training to push past barriers, break PBs, and take the body you've been working so hard for to the next level? Well, look no further. Gripped Fitness, the brand that supports the industry and Australia's top athletes. Gripped has a complete range of lifting accessories and apparel designed to get you lifting more. while providing the needed support and athletics to take your body to the next level. Check them out at www.gripped.com.au. Get a grip.
Thermoburn Protein, the world's most potent, fat-shredding, thermogenic protein. It's clinically dosed with CLA, African mango, raspberry ketones, green coffee beans, and green tea extracts. A full-spectrum protein that assists with burning fat, natural water depletion, and it also increases focus and energy with added branched-chain amino acids for anti-catabolism and recovery. Available in 6 delicious flavors and in 2 convenient sizes. Demand it today from your local supplement store. Scoop, shake, and get shredded.
Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
My Muscle Chef is the perfect solution for anyone who doesn't want to spend hours cooking, cleaning, and doing groceries every week. You can now focus on your training knowing your diet is taken care of. All you need to do is microwave and eat. To order, simply jump online at MyMuscleChef.com or call 1-300-364-993.
Here's to the athlete, the bodybuilder, the figure competitor, those who are committed, those who sacrifice, those who want to be different, the ones that get up an hour before they have to, that put their body on the line for their goals and are never, ever satisfied with close enough. You can ridicule them, but you can never ignore them because they challenge the way people make them think about themselves. And while the masses try to confine them and dismiss them, at ATP we celebrate their achievements, their dedication, and why they improve the world. Visit us on Facebook or at www.atpscience.com.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm joined by Michael Galley, and we're here to wrap up the show. We've got a very good segment ahead of us, Mick. How has your week been this week, mate?
G'day, Xavier. How are you? I'm still laughing from before, actually.
Yeah, the intros aren't the best.
The intros are not the best at all. mate, another good week. Jam-packed as usual. And what's today? Today's Monday. Finished up with a nice barbie yesterday at the new place with the boys, Logan and Craig and etc. And we just sat around, you know, eating sausages and bread and some Ben and Jerry's and Nutella. And, mate, we just sat around talking about just all our comps from over the years, having a good laugh. It was, yeah, really enjoyed it.
So it was a good weekend.
Very good weekend. If you were here, it would have been even better.
Oh, I know it would have. I saw you making up ice cream and stuff like that. So.
Oh, that was, I didn't even know that went up. My flatmate took that and put it up. But I should trademark it. That was my creation of Ben and Jerry's maple tree hugger, some Nutella sprinkled on top, and some M&M's, peanut M&M's.
Very nice. Peanut M&M's are the best M&M's.
They are the best.
Now, we've got a fair bit to talk about, Mick. I tried to convince you last week to watch my blog that I put up, and you watched it.
Yeah, I did.
What did you think?
Mate, I was pretty impressed. You sort of came across very well spoken, went into great detail about what you were doing it, why you were doing it. Mate, I'm hooked. I'm more than happy to share it each time you put it up, and I'll certainly be tuning in. And not for the fact that, you know, you're my mate and stuff like that, but I honestly think I might get something out of it too. So, yeah, really did enjoy it. That's a good thing to do, mate.
Thanks, mate. I'm very flattered. Very flattered.
That's all right.
I was actually quite tired when I recorded that second one, but I thought I'd better get it done.
Yeah.
But I think the first one was probably a little bit more interesting. But I was planning on recording over the weekend, me actually using some Prototype 7, which is the ATP cream, the pump cream. And I was going to do it on my weekend on arms, but I didn't have the person to actually take the video, so yep, I couldn't do that. But I am going to record a little bit tonight with a training partner doing it on chest. So
we'll see how
that goes.
I mean, obviously ATP have come on board, one of our sponsors, and I've been with that company for a year now, and Matt Legg is, I mean, we won't touch on it too much, obviously, but his products are brilliant. And that Prototype 7... I had about a week off it, and I used it again today on arms, and literally after the second set, I was I was bursting through with a pump, and yeah, it's but we've actually got our Christmas party this Saturday in Brisbane for ATP, so I'm going to do my best to not make an idiot of myself.
Good luck with that.
That could stop my sponsorship in its tracks. Oh dear,
it could be trouble.
It could be.
Anyway, Mick,
moving on.
If anyone wants to follow me on YouTube as well, it's just youtube.com/Xavier, then A, Wills. So just my name, but with an A in the middle of Xavier and Wills.
Actually, have you done this before, Xavier?
What's that?
A blog for your last comp, when you did your last one. Was this your first time you've done a blog?
This is my first time I've done a blog.
Okay. You know what I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to the blogs that are 2 to 3 weeks out.
No, we'll be in a pissed off mood.
Yes, I can't wait for those ones.
No, I'll be all right. I think when you record something or when you're around people, it's just when you're by yourself or if you're just around someone that you're very familiar with or something, that's when you're most angry.
Yeah. So great. So how's our show going to be?
No, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. I'll turn it on for the show.
You're going to push your buttons.
I know you are. You're going to do it deliberately too.
Well, yeah, of course.
You do it deliberately now anyway. You know, Mick. Anyway, Mick. Now we've got a new little breaking news segment. Why don't you break the news to us this week,
Xavier? This week, my breaking news is to do with the FedEx Pro Qualifier 212. I have been told, and James doesn't mind if I put this up at all. James Potter will not be competing. Didn't really go into reasons why not, but. Possibly could be the year after, but his better half Belinda will be competing, so he will be at FedEx and he will be watching the show. So we'll try and catch up with James down there and maybe get an interview with him if we can, to go into a bit more detail. But yeah, as of now, mate, he definitely won't be doing the 212s.
Yeah, which is unfortunate, but I mean that 212 lineup's looking pretty stacked as it is anyway. So
yeah.
I don't think it's obviously one very good guy out of the lineup. But there are a lot of other good guys to fill his place as well. So
exactly. So, but anyway, all the best to Belinda, and we'll see both Belinda and James down at FedEx.
Excellent. Yeah, we definitely will try to get an interview with him. So we've got about 50 people to interview that week, but I'm sure we'll try to get an interview with him.
Okay, all right. Got my work cut out for me.
No, we won't interview 50, but there's about 50 people I'd like to interview. But. Yeah. I'm sure that won't be happening. Now, Mick, we're introducing a new segment this week. It's going to be what's it called again?
The most controversial pro shows of all time.
Yep. So this week we're going to be covering the 1994 Mr. Olympia, and I wasn't sure exactly what Olympia this was, so I had to go back and do my research and look at videos on YouTube, go through pictures and all that kind of stuff. And Mick, this was a very good Olympia. I mean, we talk about this year's Olympia being very good, but I mean, the Olympia back then, there's a lot of different type of physiques. There was, you had your Andreas Munzers, who were absolutely super shredded. You had an Aussie in the top 10, Sonny Smith. You had, Milos Sarchev. You had a lot of really good guys that were placing, further down in the lineup. But this was the Olympia where Dorian won his third Olympia. I believe did he have a torn bicep going into this one?
Mate, he did. He tore it, as far as I know, 4 to 5 weeks out. And he decided to still go ahead with the show. So he's obviously turned up on stage with a torn bicep that was still pretty bruised, which is going to affect his condition as well. It's going to affect everything. So he did come in bloated, holding water, torn bicep, and his tan was pretty bad. And you had the eventual second place runner-up was Sean Ray, who was in that is probably one of the best years he's ever come in. He was flawless. His condition was absolutely incredible. His posing routine was sensational. He really did cover every sort of thing he had to win this show. And I mean, we're talking 94, Xavier. So we're talking, mate, there was no internet back in the day. And I used to train at a gym called Archer's Gym on the Gold Coast. And
Mick, I've been to that gym.
Well, it's burnt down now, so.
Oh, well, this was years ago. This one was like 17 or something.
That's another shame, too. It was one of those older gyms, hardcore. I loved it. All the top guys just trained
there. Was it like a double story? Like you go upstairs to train it?
Yeah, it wasn't double story. It was only one level up the top, but you did have to go upstairs to it.
Yeah, I've been there.
And this was back when, we had Roy, I don't know, some of the listeners, I know Tony Doe will remember, Roy Rose, who used to be one of the best MCs getting around. He actually MC'd a couple of the Arnold Classics back in the day as well. Now, he used to get a phone call from Jim Mannion or someone from overseas, get the results, and he'd write them on the notice board so everyone could see. I've always been a fan of Roy Rose. So, you know, Sean Ray. So when I walked up and saw him a second, I was over the moon. But when the photos finally came through, I mean, it was pretty bad. Like, I think in most people's opinion, it was a pretty bad call.
Yeah, I mean, well, when you look at Dorian Yates, a lot of people say Dorian Yates in person is a lot more impressive than in photos. Can you see maybe an argument for people saying he was more impressive in person?
Mate, absolutely. I've seen Dorian in person, and he is. He's way more impressive in person. But, I mean, obviously the photos, I mean, Sean was ahead, but then you hear everyone's opinions that were at the comp. You know, a lot of even the other competitors saying it was a pretty bad decision. That's when you sort of take a bit more notice as well. I mean, there may have even been a case for Kevin slotting up in a second and Dorian in third, but I guess at the end of the day, it is pretty hard to beat a Mr. Olympia, or it definitely was back in those days. But yeah, I still think that was, I mean, even to this day, there's polls continuously going up on all the forums who should have won the 94 Olympia.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny to see, like, you know, all these guys in their prime. Like, I was watching the video, and there's some really impressive competitors that, I mean, we didn't even, you know, really talk about much these days even. I mean, there's a guy, we'll skip over a few guys and come back to him, but in fifth place we had Porter Cottrell, who was a guy I thought, who's this guy? I've never really heard of him. I might have heard of him, but I haven't really, you know, he's not someone you see around much. He's not, you don't hear him talk about on forums or anything. And this dude was impressive, and he placed fifth in this Olympia, and he won some pro shows.
He did, mate. And we touched on this before now, and because you sort of asked me about Porter, and Porter was just sort of physique that it's hard to compare to him anyone these days. A bit small, very impressive in real life, very full, round muscles. But him and Kevin Lavrone, they both won their pro cards in the same nationals, which was 91, and they both started competing together at the same time in 92, which it might have been the Niagara or the Chicago Pro, where actually Porter won that first one. A lot of people think Kevin, you know, started his pro career at the Night of Champions, but it was a couple of weeks before Porter won. I think Kevin was third. 2 weeks later at the Night of Champions, Kevin won it, and I think Porter was second. And we spoke about this, and that's where that famous photo shoot came with both of them posing around the pool, which the photos are still to this day, they're just incredible, especially Kevin's condition. So yeah,
it's one of Kevin where he's lying on his side next to a pool, and he's got his like knee up, and he's got his hand on his hip type thing.
Yeah.
Very famous photo. Yeah. Well, I'll post that up on the RX Muscle Facebook page.
Mate, do it, and get everyone's opinion to what physiques they prefer, that sort of physique back then or the current ones of now. I think most people would agree that physique back then was way ahead.
Yeah, and they were big back then too. They was not like they were tiny.
No, well, we've just been through that whole lineup, and I mean, Tony Doherty would back this up, and he remembers these things as like they were yesterday as well. There's 15 guys in that lineup, and not one of them really came in off. Not one of them had a bloated stomach. Not one of them looked like they were full of synthol. So, mate, when you break it down, and people say the sport's improving, it's not. It's getting. I mean, I'm still a fan of the sport, but you can't compare the guys of today to the guys back then.
No, I totally agree. But we talked about obviously the top three.
Yep.
One guy that came in fourth, the Canadian Paul Dillette. He was a massive, massive dude, and people kind of see him as a mass monster. They see him as, you know, oh, Paul Dillette, he's huge. But when you really look at his waist and everything, he had a pretty small waist.
It was tiny waist. His shoulders were immense. The guy was about 6'2". Up until then, he was the biggest thing anyone had ever seen. I think he burst on the scene in 93, and he guest posed at our nationals, the IFBB nationals, at the end of 93, where I was like a teenager or a junior or something. And I still remember getting a photo with him. And all I remember, it was only a week or so after the Olympia, he was sitting there eating like a million cheeseburgers. They were everywhere. But this guy was humongous. You know, like you've seen, he didn't lack in the leg department where most tall guys do. He had insane legs, insane conditioning. The only thing he probably lacked was his back and his posing, but he was a freak.
Yeah. Did you go and tell everyone to eat cheeseburgers after that? Or
for anyone who doesn't understand that, that was a story about last week with Dory Dates and Cherry Ripes. No, I didn't. I looked at cheeseburgers, and I knew by that stage cheeseburgers were bad for you, so I didn't have them. I still eat them, but yeah, I didn't.
But now you eat them now.
Yeah, well, yeah, sometimes. Yeah, but now we're touching on that, the 94 Olympia, who placed last?
Who placed dead last? There's a few guys.
Dead last. No, dead last, 15th.
Well, there was guys that placed 18th.
Okay, I've only got the top 15 down here. Oops.
Well, we had a lot of guys placing equal 18th, but the guy you're talking about is Ronnie Coleman.
Yeah.
Placed in 15th place at that Olympia.
Exactly.
So, I mean, yeah, so he's obviously come a long way. You know, 94, he's placed in 15th, and then 4 years later, he was Mr. Olympia. Who would have thought, like, when he's placing this kind of, you know, he's getting these placings to Miss Olympia, that he was going to be an eight-time Mr. Olympia and probably the greatest or one of the greatest of all time.
It's incredible story, isn't it? I mean, he's gone from, you know, pretty much last at the 94. Well, did play dead last in 92. I don't think he did 93, 94. He was pretty much at the back of the pack. 95. I think 96 he started to get his act together. And then, yeah, like you said, eight-time Mr. Olympia. I don't think there's been anyone that's placed dead last in the Olympia a couple of times and then gone on to win, well, obviously eight, but not even one Olympia.
It's insane.
Yeah.
But some of those guys, obviously you don't have the list past the top 15 here, Mick. Some of the guys that placed equal 18th. This is an interesting one here. Gunter Slurkamp, he placed equal 18th in this Olympia, where he obviously went on to beat Ronnie Coleman.
Yeah.
When was it, 2002 or so?
Yeah, after the Olympia. What did they call it back then, the GNC?
Yeah, the GNC show, right.
Yep.
Yeah, so we've got Gunter Slurkamp in equal last. We've got Mike Quinn, who apparently, from what I've heard...
Mike Quinn.
He's a pretty crazy motherfucker.
He burst... It would have been the Nationals, but I think his highest would have been fifth at the 88 Olympia. And, he actually went into great detail in a few interviews about his partying lifestyle and how out of control and ridiculous he eventually got. But, Mike Quinn, he was another good one.
Yeah, he was actually going to make a comeback at one of those Masters... whether it was the Masters, whatever they called it, that I don't know if it was when it was the Masters Olympia or if it was the year before, but he's actually going to make a comeback, but I think he tore something or something like that.
Yes, so. I heard that. Yeah, he's bicep or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, and from what I heard, because I know of some people that trained in his gym, they said he still kind of had that like that crazy look and that crazy eye and stuff. They said they're still scared of him. So.
Mate, once you have that crazy eye, you never lose it.
Now, with some another one who finished equal 18th, Samir Bonneau. A Mr. Olympia. I don't know if there's been any other Mr. Olympia that's won one and then come in dead last.
Dead last, yeah. It was, that was a stacked lineup when you look at it, isn't it?
Yeah, and then another one. This guy came back and actually did all right at that Masters comp. Roland, I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Kurlock?
Mate, funny you bring him. Now, I totally forgot, because obviously I've only got the top 15 in front of me. He was a really good bodybuilder. I mean, that was probably a very raw deal for him, that placing, and he was exceptional. Like, his most muscular was out of control. It was ridiculous. And I think he may have placed fifth the year later at the Arnold. I think he might have come in fifth there, but he never sort of got any higher than maybe second or third in any of the Grand Prix, but he had a great physique. Really good.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And he was the only one who made the, you know, one of the old-timers, I suppose, like, you know, Samir Bonneau came back and all that stuff.
Yep.
And when was it, 2011, 2012? He's the only one that really kind of came back somewhat successfully.
Yeah, because
a lot of these guys are obviously, you know, around 50 years old or 50 plus and stuff, and some of them haven't trained in many years, so
yeah.
It's good to see him come back and come back well. But let's talk about the Australian, Sonny Smith. He came in 10th here. Sonny was obviously, he's one of the most successful Australian pros of all time. Like, you know, you kind of mentioned him in the same breath as Lee Priest and...
John Torelli
and those guys. What do you think about Sonny? I mean, he's a big, big dude.
He's big. I think Sonny's another one that you don't realise how good he is until you see him in real life as well. He beautiful, tight waist. He came on, I think he got sixth in his first Olympia in 91, and his conditioning was insane. And he managed to stay in the top 10 of the Olympia for the next few years, and then obviously... won the Masters Olympia in 95, but man, he conditioning insane, beautiful shape, beautiful muscle release, massive calves. I mean, he was one of Australia's greatest.
Yeah. I was talking to Scotty earlier in the show about this. I kind of asked him a question. I said, do you think there will be an Australian in the next 5 years, Australian male, competing in the Mr. Olympia? And Scotty, you know, Scotty said he doesn't know. You know, qualifying's harder now and stuff. And it's kind of sad to you know, we've had some of these guys competing in the Olympia and stuff. We've had John Davey, we've had Sonny Smith, we've had Lee Priest, John Torelli, lots of guys over years. And it's kind of sad that we don't have one of those guys up there, you know, competing in the Olympia at the moment.
Yeah, it's tough though, mate. And it's a different level over there. And people say, obviously, you know, drugs, things like that. But if you look at any sport, the Americans seem to excel in everything. They're just so much, they're so driven in what they do.
Yeah.
It's a totally different ballgame over there.
when you're at a high standard on like an amateur level, even like, you know, the NPC Nationals, 1,000-odd competitors, everyone's going to up their game. Everyone's going to, you know, be more focused. They might train harder. They might, you know, they might take more drugs. They might do this. They might, you know, they kind of go to the next level.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think if the competition was the same here, then we'd be probably pumping out a lot more. A lot more guys.
And they always say, you know, if you want to be around the, be the best, you've got to train around the best. I guess that is right in a lot of aspects. And if you walk into Gold's Venice and you walk in and you just want it, you want to train hard, you know, it's you just, you can't go in there and train bad. So if you live there full time, mate, I'm sure you'd make great gains.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's probably why a lot of guys move out there. And that's what Dexter did, you know, late in his, what he's doing now late in his career. He's kind of, he's got his own little place out, out in Venice, and he basically admitted he needs to keep motivated.
Yeah.
So he needs to stay around these guys. So even though obviously a lot of the top guys aren't training there now, he still has some, you know, big guys around him. He's like, you know, Art Finn, Esser, Hiday, all those guys.
But there's still some good guys in there, that's for sure.
Yeah. But there's a few more guys we want to cover off. Chris Cormier places in sixth here.
Yep.
Chris, he always seemed to have a problem where he couldn't, I mean, he obviously got sixth place here, which is a good placing.
Yep.
But he always seemed to have a problem where he could peak for the Arnold, but he couldn't peak for the Olympia. What was with that? Because he never seemed to nail it on the Olympia stage.
I don't know, man. Well, it's funny. That was his first Olympia experience. He'd won the USA's. He won the USA's in 93. So that's his first Olympia where he's come in sixth. So I think he came sixth, 94, 95. Then he came 7th or 8th or 9th in the next two. And then he didn't nail it till 99. When he got, remember he got 3rd?
I knew one of the Olympians he placed right up there.
Yeah, so it wasn't till then that he really, really nailed his Olympia appearance. But he obviously, in 94, he still didn't lack the size that a few of the others did or that overall balance, which he gradually got as the years went on. But yeah, he still looked. I mean, obviously, he still looked brilliant in that first Olympia appearance. And sixth back in those days, to come sixth in Olympia, that's a big deal.
Yeah, and we had Nasser Elsonbadi in seventh there as well.
Yep, that was I think that was Nasser's first one too. And yeah, I mean, that was Nasser before Nasser turned into Freaky Nasser, if you know what I mean. Which was 95, where he shocked everyone at the Night of Champions. Like no one expected to see that.
Yeah, definitely.
It was a night and day difference.
In eighth, we had Charles Clermonte. I think that's how you pronounce it anyway. Charles Clermont.
Oh, dear.
Clermont.
So you muck everyone's name up.
Well, I assume because he's from another country. I don't know. I don't muck up anyone's name. You know I don't. Anyway. He looked. You know who he looks like a bit to me? Edward Quack.
Edward Quack. It doesn't look any. Went in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Actually, I was going to say, it looks nothing like him in the body. I was like,
no, not physique. But this dude has an awesome, awesome physique. Like, he's got just great shape. He was in condition and stuff. Yeah. And he was actually in a call-out when I was watching the videos. He was in a call-out with Sean Ray and, who was it, Paul Dillette. Mm. So he mustn't have been, I mean, obviously Sean Ray finished second and Paul Dillette finished fourth.
Yeah.
And he finished in eighth. So it must have been a pretty close, like, kind of top eight, top ten for him to be in that call-out.
Honestly, you've got a case for him being as high as third or fourth. Like they were that close back then, it wasn't funny. And you look at Charles, he doesn't lack anything either, really. And he came in very conditioned in this Olympia. Excellent legs, his biceps were phenomenal. His front double bicep was, his waist was so tight that everything was looked even more impressive. I mean, there really was a case for him to place higher. It was one of those shows where a lot of these guys, it was tough back then. There wasn't much separating them. All these guys were conditioned.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like just going through the list and actually looking up a lot of these names.
You know what
just,
I'm impressed with? You've done your homework with this one.
I've really done my homework, haven't I?
I mean, these are my favourite years of all time in bodybuilding. As much as I can muck around with Xavier, like this, I love this sort of stuff.
It's actually when I first got into sport, I never really enjoyed, I mean, I enjoyed looking at Arnold, I enjoyed those kind of guys, but I never really enjoyed looking into these old contests. But as I'm maturing, I'm enjoying looking back and getting a bit of history on it and seeing these names and what they're doing now. I mean, you've got, you know, all these guys in the lineup. You've got Dorian Yates, who has his own supplement company, and you've got Sean Ray, who's doing stuff at MD. You've got Kevin Lavroni, which does, I don't know what he does. He works for a supplement company and things like that. You got, you know.
Paul Dillette's running the
WBF,
yeah. I mean, a lot of these guys, Chris Cormier is still, you know, still well-known prepping guys and that as well. You're hearing about these guys still throughout the years, whereas I wonder how many of the top 10 of the guys in the last 10 or so years are you going to hear about?
Yeah, it's interesting. And this was way back in 94 now, so this is
it's almost 20 years. It's 19 years. So
massive. It's massive.
Far out, that just made me feel a little bit older.
And you got, you know, Gunter, who's doing, his wife is actually, she was on, Biggest Loser in America.
Yes, Biggest Loser, yep.
And they do a lot of business type stuff. You got Ronnie Coleman, who obviously won 8 Olympias and has Ronnie Coleman Signature Series, which he's killing it with. You got Mil Sachev, who went on to train a lot of the top pros. Hidetada Yamagishi, obviously trained Luke Wood. He trained heaps.
Andy Bell at the moment. I'll tell you something. I was, we on Andy Bell, Amy Fox's boyfriend, soon to be husband. I just sort of put some pressure on him. You know WhatsApp that's on your phone?
What's that?
It's called WhatsApp, so you can text people overseas and stuff like that. It's like Viber. Anyway, I get this WhatsApp from Andy, and I'm like, that's weird. Why don't you just text me? And I'm like, what are you doing, mate? He said, I'm in Serbia. And I went, okay,
interesting.
Clearly my next question was going to be, what the fuck are you doing in Serbia? And he said, I'm training with Milos. And I went, okay. And then he started texting me, putting different photos on WhatsApp of him posing with Milos in the background. And I haven't, well, we didn't send any more texts after that. So I'll wait till he gets home to find out what, I don't know why, maybe just need to get away for a few weeks, and that's Milos' new home, Serbia.
That's very interesting.
There's some useless information for you.
I like it. What was he looking like?
Fucking awesome. Excuse my language. He looked so thick. I just hope Milos doesn't finish him off.
Yeah, Andy had a few, I don't know, gastrointestinal issues or something like that, didn't he?
He's had them for a long time, mate, and he still says he's got a little bit of, a little bit of problems with it here and there, but the doctors obviously can't, they can't put a finger on it.
So like IBS or something like that?
What's that?
Irritable bowel syndrome?
Oh, dear.
What a...
How dumb am I?
Andy's going to hate me now.
Yeah, I love Andy. I don't know. I guess, I don't know. I'll find out more. I'll touch base with him again when I definitely know he's home. So he could be home now. Maybe I should be a nice mate and text him.
Yeah. We'll have to actually do an interview with him when he gets back because he's a knowledgeable dude.
He's very knowledgeable, mate. I lived with him for a month or so at the start of the year, and he's, it's now the Mass facility, but back then it was his personal training studio, and he's got a nice, you spoke to Chris Thomas, the apartment upstairs, and I stayed with Andy then, and fuck, mate, he's extremely knowledgeable.
I think people would enjoy listening to what he has to say and stuff. And
I think so, for sure. Definitely.
But Mick, we'll move on from there. That was our, we went on for quite a while there.
Yeah, I think we'll probably, there's a lot to talk about with these Olympias and who's in them and what's done. So I think this would be, I'll be interested in it.
Yeah, and we don't just talk about the Olympia and all the placings and stuff. We talk about a bit of the competitivity in there and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
people enjoy that, I think. And we might even have some more recent ones as well, occasionally. Like, we'll take turns in picking. You pick one and I'll pick one.
I like that. Speaking of history and stuff like that, mate, can I just bring up, I love listening to our episodes with Scott. I actually really enjoy listening to Scott's stuff. He's very knowledgeable, speaks very nicely. I shouldn't talk him up so much. But anyway, and I did happen to listen to last week's episode where Scott, and not necessarily bagged me, but he did have a go at me about our trip to Vegas and not partying and carrying on with him and stuff, and I've talked it up. And I went, okay, just in my side of the story, yes, I may have talked it up a little bit before we left. And the first night, I went toe-to-toe with everyone, especially Scott. We had a great night. And then in my defense, I did have a lot to do this time at the Olympia, helping Charles with the shoot and et cetera, et cetera. So I didn't do as much as what I normally did. And it's not, as Scott put it, that I'm getting old. It's got nothing to do with that. It's just this was a sober trip.
Yeah, it was, yeah. And yeah. I heard all the backstories.
Exactly. You know it all. So, maybe you should tell him one day off record. So get fuck Scott and I'm more than happy to Scott, you're more than happy. I'll put it out right now, Zaves. Scott, you are more than happy to come up here and spend some time up with me in my nice place, and we can reminisce or do whatever, and we'll see how you hold up.
You'll have home ground advantage though.
I don't fucking care. What the hell's that to do with any? I'm not going to melt. It's freezing cold.
Yeah, it is. Isn't it? It's not very nice there.
Anyway.
It's been nice and hot over here in Perth. I like it.
Oh, it's hot here too. I'm sweating at the moment in the house.
Very nice.
Mm. Anyway.
Now, Mick, we obviously touched on that 94 Olympia. You said you got to see the Dorian Yates. Well, everyone saw that Dorian Yates and Chris Cormier clip that went up online probably, when was it, a few years back, where actually, no, it's probably about 4 or 5 years back now, where Dorian was training Chris Cormier, and Chris basically was pretty much getting killed on legs, and he's vomiting outside and dry heaving and stuff. And you actually saw the whole DVD. What do you think of it?
He was in a bad way, mate, at the end there. Like, when I first saw him walk out of the gym, Dorian trained him hard, and from everything you read and hear, anyone who goes over there and trains in that gym, Dorian doesn't muck around. He pushes him through a torturous workout. And at the end of it, and it was a big session, Chris has gone up the steps out into the, it's like an alleyway near the gym, and he's gone over on hands and knees. I'm thinking, oh, here we go. He's putting this on. But no, he was in a bad way. He was dry reaching bad, and then there was quite a few times there was a lot of bile and stuff coming out. So then I started to feel bad for him and thought, oh, okay, well, maybe he was serious. Yeah, but that, oh man, I love seeing old school stuff like that. And I don't know, Dave. I mean, what? And at the end of the day, what do you prefer? Like, I love that style of gym, Dorian. It reminds me a lot of the old gym that was here on the Gold Coast called Archer's Gym. No aircon, old, rusty. I mean, I don't know. Maybe because I was used to training that gym when I was younger, I just got too used to it. But I mean, what do you prefer?
Well, I like the old school gym. I used to work in a gym down in Tassie called Extreme Physique, which was owned by 2 bodybuilders / powerlifters, and they had everything. They kind of hand selected a lot of equipment, and they knew what kind of worked, and they had they didn't get many members, let's put it that way. It was a very hardcore bodybuilding type gym. The walls were covered in pictures of bodybuilders and signed photos, and
yeah.
They had the flags up the middle of the gym, like all the different country flags and stuff. It was just had an awesome atmosphere. I had about 3 different gyms, and I just worked in one of them, and it was just, yeah, it was all, like, I just loved the atmosphere. I really loved training there.
Yeah.
And I just, yeah, I really enjoyed it. We didn't have aircon there, but that was in Tassie, so I mean, it's not necessarily needed that much. I mean, there was one day where when I worked there and I trained legs and it was 40 degrees, that wasn't much fun. Yeah. But most of the time you did not need aircon there. But in Perth, I do prefer a gym with aircon now, because I do get, very sweaty.
You'd heard of Archer's Gym and you've been there. And when I first moved up here when I was a kid, that was the gym to be in. But you had such guys there as, like, you had Lee Newman, you had Jonathan Davey, you had Brian Anthony, there was a lot of top guys training back there in the day, which was impressive. And the owner of the gym at the time was David Berry, who's famous in Australia for his he's been competing for, mate, years and years and years. But same thing, on the wall, you had pictures of Arnold when he was out here, Serge Nabray training in the gym. You had some Lee Haney. You had some really top guys from back in the day that have trained in that gym, you know, over the years. And yeah, I loved it, mate. It was dirty. There was no aircon. You really suffered in there. And I don't know, maybe I've softened a lot. Maybe I've softened a fair bit. But I remember one morning doing cardio at 5 in the morning, and I used to live near there, and I'm doing cardio, and I'm coming around the corner of the street, and I saw this smoke coming up, and I'm going, oh, okay, something's on fire. Got closer, and that was when Archer's burned down, and I remember walking up. I had an Archer's gym shirt on, walking past the fire brigade, and stopped and looked at him and looked at the gym, and they just looked at him and said, well, you won't be training here anymore.
Oh,
and I'm
shit.
Like, oh, fuck. And so, that was an end. Honestly, that was an end of an era. And I think Tony Dowie can back that up too. He knows how important that gym was up here and the history behind it.
Yeah, it's pretty upsetting.
That was only 5 minutes into my walk. I had another 40 or so minutes to go. Can you imagine how depressed I was?
Oh, you're going to walk around.
In my head, I'm thinking, well, where am I going to train now? Like, I don't want to train at this fancy gym. I'm happy at Archer's.
So you were actually training there at the time?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I loved it there, mate. Absolutely loved it. Yep.
Wow, I'd be pissed off.
Yeah, it wasn't the best, but anyway.
Did everyone that trained there go their separate ways and go to different gyms?
Everyone, mate. Yeah, obviously the surrounding gyms that were close to it, everyone was putting on deals to try and get their members or as much of them as they could. I think I may have, I don't know. Oh, man, I actually don't know. Oh, I went to industry, Mark Ryan's gym after that, and ended up working out there as well. So, yeah, I went out there for a couple of years to Mark's gym.
Yeah, it was like when Extreme closed down here, I was very upset about it. I wasn't happy at all. And I had to, there was really, at this point down in Tassie, there was really no other gyms. Like, there was the uni gym, which I went and got trained at. And then we had a few chain gyms open up, 24/7 ones, which is obviously convenient. But the gym I train at now, 24/7 Power Fitness, they actually sponsor me. It's a gym up there in Wanneroo. And it's a very good gym. And they've got 2 rooms. Like, you walk into one and it's, you know, that was what the original gym was, and it's a pretty big room. and you've got, you know, dumbbells that go pretty heavy up to about 65 or something like that. Then you've got, you know, plenty of plates and all that stuff, and you've got some machines and that. And then they've actually doubled the size of the gym, and it's like the new gym has all hammer strength stuff. It's got really heavy dumbbells. It's got plenty of, like, it's just really spacious and heaps of room, and they've actually called it the bodybuilding power pit. So it's it's catered to bodybuilders and stuff like that. So that's absolutely awesome, and it's very, very popular as well. So
do you know what this just reminded me of?
What's that?
Funny facts about Gretch.
Oh, okay, we'll launch into that. We'll go straight into our weekly segment of funny facts about Gretchy.
Mate, the funny fact about Gretchy this week. Now, this is segment number 3. So far, I'm having a lot of inboxes asking me, is this real? Is this really happening to Gretchy? And I'm, as far as I know, it is. So I've got to, you know, stick with the, yes, it is. So Emma's given me another good one. Mr. Gretch, he seems to get stage fright whenever he's going to the toilet. If Emma walks in, even for the slightest second, walks into the bathroom, or if he feels like she's coming to the bathroom, it will just switch off. He could be going hell for leather. Like, you know, when you say if you drank 2 liters of water and you're peeing like a, you know, you're just peeing hard, it will just stop.
He literally. So halfway through, he just stops.
Absolutely stops.
Oh, wow.
It can't do it, mate. Like just absolute stage fright.
I love it.
I don't know. I guess it's, hey, that's a funny fact about Gretch.
Yeah, and I liked it because I hadn't heard this one. I was quite excited for it.
No, I kept this one building because I wanted to surprise you with this one. So, So thank you for that other funny fact about Gretchy, Emma, and Mark. Cue music now.
Oh, Mick, I enjoy that funny facts about Gretchy segment. It always brings a smile to my face.
Yes, it does. See, now we're cranking now. We've got funny facts about Gretch. We've now got controversial pro shows of all time, and then we'll come up with something in the next few days.
And we've almost been going for 40 minutes as well. So.
Wow, really?
Yeah. We've done, I think, about 37 minutes of recording.
Jesus. But this is supposed to be, originally, this was like a 20-minute segment.
Yeah, we said 15 to 20 minutes, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not happening.
I hope we're not boring to people.
No, I think they enjoy it. Like, when I listen to Heavy Muscle Radio of Dave Plumbo and Chris Aceto, yep. When I see it for, like, you know, if it's over 2 hours, I'm just like, yep. Almost give myself a little high five or something.
And guess who teed up an interview with famous bodybuilding historian and journalist
Lonnie the Swami Tipper.
Lonnie the Swami Tipper. I believe he will be coming on and you will be interviewing Xavier in the next few weeks. So I chat to him every now and then on Facebook and we have a bit of a laugh to each other. I think this guy is going to be very, very interesting to listen to. So anyone who's listening to this segment now, who will be on the next few weeks, this guy has been around for 20, 30 odd years and has pretty much seen it all.
Yeah, well, he's emceed the Nationals, which he did this weekend. I think it was his 20th year, I'm pretty sure. So.
And he's done nearly every Arnold Classic as well. And plus every Ironman when it was actually called the Ironman Comp.
Yeah, it's a shame that Ironman Comp isn't around anymore. I loved that as like the season opener.
Yeah, I thought it was awesome too. I mean, they tried to switch it up, but they brought the Flex Prime, which I actually was lucky enough to see the first one, and it just wasn't the same, to be honest with you. It didn't have the same feel about it. Bring the Ironman back, I say.
Yeah, I was quite happy with Flex Pro that there's actually a show there, but now there's I don't like they kick it off with the Arnold now. I don't.
They should lead into. Yeah, I agree. Something a little bit smaller, and then, bam, straight into the Arnold. But it's a shame about that Ironman, mate. The first one. Here we go again. The historian. 1990 was the first. Oh, sorry, 1989. Fuck, have I forgotten? No, 1990. Sean Ray won the first ever Ironman.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then a week later he got tested positive. The first year they tested for drugs, it definitely was 1990. A week later he got tested when he won the Arnold Classic. Test came through positive. Lost his check of $60,000 in the first place award, but rebounded back at the 1990 Olympia, which was also drug tested and came in third.
Yeah, it's interesting. Losing your title because you tested positive to drugs.
Yeah, mate, 4 people actually were disqualified in that Arnold Classic.
Yeah, I believe they introduced the drug testing and stuff is basically for the Olympic Committee, because I think I was trying to get bodybuilding in the Olympics at the time. And
lasted 1 year.
Yeah, it didn't exactly happen. I think Arnold's actually trying to do that at the moment.
Really?
Yeah, I think they've been accepted into, I think the bodybuilding's been accepted back into the Olympic committee or something along those lines, but it's not obviously an Olympic sport yet, but I think they can apply for it to be an Olympic sport now.
Okay.
And it's going to be at, what is it, some type of Asia Olympic Games type thing, apparently. So I don't know what the deal is. I'm pretty sure it's under the IFBB, but I'm not sure if that's, I think it might be a few years away. So I don't know. Can't imagine it really happening, but...
No, I can't either, but anyway, which we think...
We'll have to wait and see. But Mick, before we wrap up the show, do you have a shout-out of the week?
I did.
And you did or you do?
I know I did, and I forgot.
Oh, dear.
We've had funny facts about Gretch and most controversial pro shows, so maybe, I don't know, maybe we can just give it a skip for this week. I'm sure someone asked for a shout-out, and I can't remember who it was. I did two last week. Shouldn't that count for this week?
Yeah, we'll let it slide.
Yeah.
I'll do my spiel about liking us on iTunes and rating and reviewing us. So anyone out there, I really appreciate everyone that's shared the radio show on Facebook. It helps us a lot to get more hits, more ratings, just more listeners overall. So please share it on Facebook. When you see it go up on the RX Muscle Australia page or on my Facebook page or on Mix or whatever, please just click share. Even if you don't say anything, please just share it on your Facebook page. Also, rate and review us on iTunes. That's a massive one. If you put a review in there, if you click 5 stars or 4 stars or whatever you want to click on there and review us on iTunes, that will throw us up the list so much. I mean, we're around, I can't remember what we are now, about around 200th, and we're hoping to crack that top 200 and then top 100. Also, find us on Instagram. It's at RX Muscle Australia, so that's pretty easy. And also on Facebook, you can just search RX Muscle Australia. And also add Mick on Facebook because I'm sure he'll love that.
I don't want to add. No, I've got enough. No. Well, unless I know them personally now, I don't add randoms now.
Don't accept?
Well, no. If they look like they're in the industry and they've got, you obviously do a bit of a check of their profile and they look like they're not fake, well, yeah, I'll add them. But, man, you've got to be careful these days.
That's my problem. I just click accept on everyone.
I used to,
And then I get tagged in shoe photos.
Yeah, oh, man. No one wants that.
No one wants to be tagged in a...
Fuck, no. No, I don't.
I like Air Maxes and Nikes and stuff, but I don't.
Yeah, but you don't want to be tagged into that all the time. It just looks weird. Every time I see you tagged in it, I know I see it. It says Xavier Wills is tagged in this, and I'm like, poor Xavier.
Poor Xavier, don't give me that. oh dear, I can't remember. I was going to say something else about that, but I can't exactly.
How's all the sponsors going?
It is going well. We've got obviously got Gripped on board. We've got ATP.
Yep.
Gripped, that you're going to be having your blog. When's that coming up, Mick?
Well, funny you should say that. Natika just texted me as we were doing this interview. I'm just getting a muscle meal out of the fridge.
Shameless plugs.
It's a shameless plug. Natika just texted me today and said Galmeister, which is her little pet name for me. Galmeister, when are we getting the blog up and running? So I need to text her back right now. We'll probably start it straight away, Zones.
I don't know. No reason not to?
No, I don't know if it's going to be perceived, but we'll get on to that.
So what was that nickname? Galmeister?
No, it's not for you. It's just her cute name.
Catch on.
It's her cute little name for me, not you.
Anyway, we'll thank our sponsors before you start banging around too much. We've got, obviously, Gripped Fitness. We've got ATP. We had 2 minutes with a scientist this episode. We've got My Muscle Chef. Their orders close Tuesday at midnight for the weekend's orders. Muscle Nutrition, obviously the show is brought to you by Muscle Nutrition. Matt's obviously, he's still enjoying that holiday, so living the life. Bulknutrients.com.au, I've got a package from them during the week, so thank you to Bulk Nutrients. International Protein, obviously Christine Enville and Troy Bremner over there at International Protein. I actually heard some stuff about International Protein during the week about how much, I don't know if we talked about it last week. No, you talked about it last week, about how much protein they actually pump out at the factory.
It's humongous. Yeah, it's incredible. Right.
And also, obviously, Mass Nutrition, over 30 stores around Australia and New Zealand. And Species Nutrition, the main sponsor of RX Muscle. So, Mick, that's it for episode number 82, I believe it is, of Aussie Muscle Radio. And remember, with Aussie Muscle Radio, the truth hurts.
Aussie Muscle Radio is a presentation of RX Muscle Australia, the truth in Australian bodybuilding. Visit rxmuscle.com.au for all the latest bodybuilding news, videos, contest coverage, and so much more. Tune in next week at this same time for another round with Xavier Wills and Scott Goble, only on Aussie Muscle Radio.